And in Habakkuk chapter 3, the last part of verse 2, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. Particularly those words. In wrath, remember mercy. Paul tells us in Romans that there is not one that seeketh God. No, not one. And unless the Holy Spirit moves in the heart and gives life where there was no life, they won't even think about God. So God is angry with the wicked every day. Our God is an angry God. Although anger isn't his main characteristic. His main characteristic is mercy. That the extent of an unbelieving population in the world and throughout the times means that it is the anger of God that is most visible. And a sinner knows the anger of God in their hearts. It may take various forms. It may be conscience troubles. It may be that because of the nature of the sin, the conscience troubles in such a way that the person within may feel that there is no hope for him in God. It may be that the things that people have done, that you and I have done, are such that we may think that there can be no hope for us. But God is angry. And we remember that before we were saved, God was angry with us. Now, if the Lord were to open our eyes, like Elisha asked that Gehazi's eyes should be open to see those who were surrounding him, which were normally invisible. But if we were to open our eyes, what a mass of anger we would see reaching down from heaven to all the individuals in Christendom. For he's angry with those who remain wicked, who do not turn to the Saviour. Even if they had not had the opportunity to hear the gospel, they should have recognized God and worshipped him and praised him for creation. And they should have then bowed the knee before him, and the Lord would have shown them his salvation. But if you could just see the wickedness of the people here, we can't, we don't want to. And if you could just see the wrath of God pouring down upon them. And then if you multiply it through all the villages of Suffolk, through all the counties of England, through the masses in the great cities of London and Leeds and Bradford and Birmingham and Bristol, what anger there is. And anger from heaven is not restricted to ourselves. It is poured out upon every country in Europe. It is poured out upon every country throughout the world, Asia, Africa, Australasia, Americas. But the Lord is full of wrath. As an individual, we would do well to seek the Lord, to seek the Lord Jesus, to beseech him that the work of the shedding of his blood, which makes atonement for the soul, might be applied to us. That the reconciliation of God with us who have been so sinful might become very real and very apparent. That punishment has been visited upon the Lord Jesus Christ, upon those who turn to him. Oh, that the wicked might taste and see that the world might taste and see the wonders of that love. For on the Lord Jesus Christ was visited the wrath of man. Oh, that there were individuals who, knowing their state, urgently applied to the Lord that his blood might cover their sins, that God might not be angry with them, that his anger might not be visited upon them now in this world or on judgment day. For who shall stand? The book of Habakkuk is full of the anger of the Lord. It is full of wrath. And the believing prophet feels he must pray about that situation. In verse 1, if you study it, he prays and he says, Lord, why? Why in this world that we live, why are there those who pervert justice? Why there are those who oppress people? Why are there those who slacken the law and you do not give fair judgment? I live in a land that all I see is wickedness, wickedness, wickedness. And his prayer is, Lord, why don't we see some action from thee, some saving power, some mercy? And the Lord, who knows the iniquity of that nation, answers him with terrible things in the remainder of chapter 1 in Habakkuk. Tells him what he's going to do. He tells him that he's going to send this vicious, evil nation of Babylon so that they will come into the land, and that he hasn't seen anything yet of the terrible things that are going to happen. To which Habakkuk appeals. He says, Lord, you can't make them a blessing. They're worse than us. Why would you take hold of them and honour them more than you honour us? And the Lord says, because the evil on the land is so great, I will use other nations to terrify thee, but they will be punished in their own day. In response to which, Habakkuk says, I will stand upon my watch. I don't quite know what to pray, but I need answers. And the Lord answered. Now, our text is in wrath, remember mercy. As individuals, we pray that though the Lord rightly is angry with us, that he won't visit us for our anger, because what chance would we stand, but will come and deal with us in mercy, because his dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, took flesh and lived without sin, though he might justly make atonement for our sins. There was mercy there. And there's mercy just here. The Lord in chapter 2, he's standing and waiting, is Habakkuk. And the Lord says, write this vision. Make it plain when you write it, that he may run that readeth it. Habakkuk had been oppressed. He'd been found it difficult and he prayed. And the Lord says, well, mercy will cause believers to move through life, not just to walk, but to run through life. That he may run that readeth it. Tell him that the vision is for an appointed time, but that it will come. That the one whose soul is lifted up in him is not upright, but the just the justifier, shall live by his faith. So the only mercy to be had in a vicious world that is opposed to God by the millions is in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who is justified, found not guilty, can only be acceptable in the sight of the Lord through faith in his dear Son. Just a verse there. And then the rest of that chapter again is full of the wrath of God. So much wrath, you see, chapter 1, chapter 2, but just a little mercy glimmering through the crowds. So Habakkuk comes to pray and he appreciates this. And he said, I've heard your speech. I was afraid. Well, we have every reason to be afraid of the evil that's within our hearts, what the Lord thinks about the things that we say and do and think. Every reason. I've heard thy speech. I was afraid. And then he breaks out in this wonderful prayer. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. I can see the wickedness that is in our land. I can see the wickedness of the nations that are going to oppress. And it all seems to be that there's going to be nothing but disaster. But Lord, my prayer is that in the midst of all thine anger, wilt thou remember mercy? May it not go on forever. May it only be limited, as the Lord Jesus said in his day, for the elect's sakes, those evil days should be shortened. In wrath, remember mercy. In thy righteous anger against our nation as well as individuals. This book is about nations. In wrath, in all thine anger, let thy wonderful character of mercy come through and let us know it. He knew, Habakkuk, that it was written in Deuteronomy that he has mercy on thousands of them that love him. But they were ignoring him. And unless the Lord himself revived his people, then they wouldn't turn any more to him. That his mercy may be allowed to shine forth. We know his kindness will be shown us throughout heaven's glory. I'm told that in the New Testament. But in the midst of the years, we pray that the Lord will make known in wrath, remember mercy. If the Lord does not remember mercy, then terrible things lie ahead of our world. But if in the years he makes known mercy, what a wonderful thing that would be. But he talks of revival. He talks of reviving the work in the midst of the years. He talks of large scale turning of people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Revive thy work. Oh, it's a wonderful thing if one or two is saved. But we are a nation, he says, of Israelites. Revive the nation. Not just one, not just ten, but hundreds, but thousands. And in order that that work should be revived, it must all happen together. Not just one here and one there. But one bringing another, bringing another, bringing another, and it happening all over the time. So that there is a reviving that has power in the land. Make mercy known. Mercy was revealed to Habakkuk. After his prayer, we read of still more anger throughout chapter 3. Still more anger despite his prayer. And the ending, as you well know, is very, very bleak. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, one of the means of subsistence, although the fig tree shall not blossom, more serious still, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labour of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. How bleak this is. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. But Habakkuk has learned mercy, though there's nothing. Nothing but a pending disaster, apparent disaster. Yes, he says, I will rejoice in the Lord. Though there's nothing, no means of sustenance, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. And it won't be reluctant, he'll make my feet like hinds' feet. He will make me to walk upon high places. What does this mean? It means that the Lord has shown him mercy in the midst of anger. He has learned what it is as an individual. Just before that passage that I read in verse 16, he speaks of resting in the day of trouble. But no unbeliever can rest in the day of trouble. No unbeliever can be at peace. It will be a matter of foreboding and of awe to him, what is going on around him and what is going on in his heart for his wickedness. But the Lord, as Habakkuk discovers, does remember mercy in the midst of his anger, in the midst of his years. We do pray earnestly for a reviving, a revival. Without that, there'll be more anger than there would appear to be mercy. But all those who've received the mercy of believing will be able to exercise their faith in joy, even in the midst of trouble. But we long for a reviving. We long for a reviving in our land. But in order for that, the gospel must be preached and the gospel must get out and people must be able to hear it in some way. Otherwise they're limited to creation. And all that will mean is respect for God rather than salvation. We pray for a reviving. We see the trouble in Israel. And Israel is not a godly community for the most part. We long for a reviving there, that the people whom the Lord used so long ago, he will not finally desert. We ask the question, is it a final destruction as a final punishment upon the sin of rejecting the Saviour? But we may still plead in, Lord, remember mercy. Not just the old one or two, but revive thy work among the Jews in the midst of the years. And we may say the same of all other nations. Lord, where thy work has begun, revive that work. Where it hasn't begun, cause there to be a flame. But for us individuals, and especially those who have not been committed to the Lord Jesus so that their sins are paid for, the wrath of God averted, beseech individuals that they should throw their trust on the Lord, that wrath may not be their lot, but the wonderful mercy of the Saviour be their experience. Amen.